This morning, turn over to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. So thankful for the Word of God this morning. Had a wonderful time yesterday, starting off with the RU breakfast and pancakes and bacon. And praise the Lord for the good time we were able to have there, everybody that came out for that. And then the Young at Hearts, the senior supper last night. So thankful for all the work that was put into that. And Brother Bob, Miss Tracy being able to head that up. And just so thankful. Wonderful time of fellowship. I don't know if they got enough to eat or not. You can ask about any one of them. And definitely got enough to eat. I think Brother Jim Shepherd, I think he's good for the next 10 days or so. And just someone kept just giving him food. So, but we had a wonderful time of fellowship, had a good time at the ladies' prison last night, and had seven ladies that came out for service, and two of them were brand new that we had never been able to meet before, and just so thankful for the way the Lord worked there. And so, praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter number 12, if you found it, let's stand together. We're going to read the first six verses. Hebrews chapter number 12, had this thought and message on my heart for a few weeks now. And the Lord's given liberty this morning to be able to preach it. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Our text and also the title for the message is just taken from the first three words of verse number 2, looking unto Jesus. And I'll say this, I believe that we'd keep ourselves out of a whole lot more trouble than what we do if we'd be constantly looking unto Jesus. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Father, we love you. We sure thank you for Jesus this morning. Lord, I thank you for him dying on the cross for us. I thank you for, as it's described here, that he endured the cross and despised the shame and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm thankful for his sacrifice and his love to each and every one of us while we were yet sinners. And Lord, I pray that throughout the scriptures this morning that you would be honored and glorified. And Lord, that if our vision of Christ is beginning to wane, if we're turning our eyes upon something else, then Lord, I pray that you'd draw each and every one of us back to looking unto you. Thank you for who you are now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Looking unto Jesus, I preached a message. It was several months back. I believe it's still on the website there on going where you're looking. And I've gone back several times and thought towards that, and I have that written down here in my Bible. I believe a lot of times, and can I say this message isn't just because my boy got in a car accident because he took his eyes off the road just a few days ago. But I thought so many times in our lives, our eyes get off the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and admit to it this morning because I know that each and every one of us have done this from time to time. And I'm reminded as we come back through here now to set the context of the scripture, the writer has just spent the entire chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 just laying out these great patriarchs and men and ladies of the faith. And those that throughout the Old Testament exercised and placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and was able to see God do great and mighty things. We see down through there that several of them, the Bible says, they were looking for a city. And they've never received the promise, but they died before receiving the promise. You know, I believe they had their eyes on Jesus and not just on the things of this world. And I want to share just four simple thoughts as we come down through this passage of Scripture this morning out of Hebrews chapter number 12 on looking unto Jesus. And for some that say, hey, I'm struggling in life, I'm struggling in marriage, I'm struggling with my kids, I'm just struggling in my daily walk. I believe the number one thing that I'd ask them is, how's your relationship with the Lord? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? You spending time with Him? Are your eyes upon Jesus, or are they upon everything else? The Bible says here, the first verse before we get to the phrase, looking unto Jesus, it says that we're to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. First of all, I believe that looking unto Jesus, that the distractions around us will be eliminated. I don't know if you've ever been living your Christian life and all of a sudden you find your eyes are wandering upon something else, and now you've gotten distracted and looking at other things. The old illustration that we've had for years, and I've seen these upon the horses. Anybody here ever take a team of horses that have had blinders put on them? And the only reason they're doing that is because there is a task for which them to accomplish, and they don't want them to get distracted by things that are off to the left hand or things that are off to the right hand. They want them to stay focused on things that are in front of them. And so many times we here on this earth, as we're endeavoring to be able to live our Christian life, it is amazing how things will come up, and before you know it, you're distracted from even reading your Bible. I'm distracted from even spending time in prayer. I'm distracted from being faithful inside the church house. You say, oh, I deal with distractions real well. How many of you ever found out you sit down to try to read your Bible, it's the one time the phone's going to start ringing? It's the one time the text messages are going to start coming through. And it's not just going to be a casual message. It's going to be one that you've been waiting on for about 7 days. And then all of a sudden, it's before we know it, now we've put our Bible down and are spending time, what we were going to be spending time with the Lord, and now we're distracted. I don't know if you've ever, maybe this is just me. You get into the middle of a project and you're doing something there on your desk, and a distraction comes along and you go off and start doing that, and then you wonder what you were doing in the first place that you left to go take care of it. The Bible says here in verse number 1, if we're going to be looking unto Jesus, there's some things that we're going to have to lay aside, and we're going to have to lay aside the weight and the sin, and we're going to have to run with patience the race that is set before us. We live in a day and age, it seems like distractions are around us on every side. It seems like we can't go more than an hour or two, and I'll say that there's some that they can't go more than 20 minutes and they're checking their phone on Facebook. They're checking their Twitter. They're checking all the social media and they get distracted. Oh, I don't have time to be able to read my Bible, but you've been distracted by Facebook for 3 hours. And we know everything that's going on in everybody's circle all around us, but we don't know what God has for us. I am amazed when I'll put a social update about the church or something that's taking place, and I'm thinking, before I can even get it typed, it seems like someone's already liking it and sharing it. I'm like, what are they doing? Are they just sitting there on Facebook waiting for something to come through? I'm like, it is so easy today to be distracted with everything else. We get distracted by sports. We get distracted by personal things that we desire to do, things that are more important. And before you know it, and listen, I know we're getting ready to come into springtime and we're getting ready to come into summertime. And before we know it, that beach over there is going to be distracting people from being able to sit in church on a regular basis. The mountains are calling. Well, they don't ring your number on Sunday. We're talking about distractions. And listen, there's some things. If we are going to be looking unto Jesus, some distractions that are going to have to be put out of our lives. I do appreciate people that go on vacation. There's one pastor down in Tennessee, and he said what I did, and he had just come back. The Sunday we dropped in, he had just come back from vacation, and he stood up to his church, and he said, here's the two church bulletins from the churches that I visited while we were on vacation. And he told me afterwards, he said, I teach our people, if you're going on vacation, you don't go on vacation from God. And he said, so I ask my people, it's not a controlling thing, putting his thumb down on them like that. He said, but I want to encourage them to be in church. He said, so I ask them to bring back a church bulletin. He said, then I can see where they've gone and worshiped and been in church. But he did it that Sunday. He said, it's good enough for them. He said, it's good enough for me. He said, here's my two church bulletins. But it's amazing with things that take place in life. Many of you have probably found out life can get busy, can't it? And sometimes we get so distracted with trying to take care of every little thing that comes up that before we know it, we've gotten completely away from the main thing that God is desiring for us. We can get out of bed so early in the morning to be able to have to do so many things that we forget about spending some time with the Lord. We get so busy on reading the newspaper or reading the news articles on the internet or watching Fox News or watching CNN or MSNBC, whatever your poison is, by the way. Get so distracted with all of that. We were talking about some sports yesterday, and Brother John and I were talking. I said, I haven't sat down and watched an entire baseball game for I don't know how many years. I said, but when you start talking 3 to 4 hours worth of time, boy, we're easy to get distracted. And can I say, if we're looking unto Jesus, there are some distractions in our lives that are going to be eliminated. There are some things that are going to be put off to the side and say, listen, I just don't need that distraction in my life right now. We need some young people that will commit their lives to the Lord and say, you know something, I'm not going to be distracted by going and chasing a boy or a girl right now. We need some young people that say, listen, I know God has a purpose and a plan for my life, and it's real easy to get distracted. All of a sudden, them dollar bills start floating down like they grow on trees or something. And all of a sudden, God has a purpose and a plan, and we're saying, hey, I just got distracted. And before you know it, listen, this is what the founder of Reformers Unanimous said. He grew up in church, called to preach, surrendered his life to the Lord. And he said, I graduated from Christian high school and said, I'm just going to take one semester and go live how I want to live and just enjoy life for a little while. Got so distracted that one semester turned into a decade of his life. Because he got distracted. And I thought, if we're going to keep our focus, we have to keep it on the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about our church, and I'm so thankful. Listen, it's been a wonderful 5.5 years that God's given to us since the beginning of the church, since we were able to start. But I thought, you know, I said, there's times that even churches can get distracted from what God has put us there to do. And sometimes churches get so overbalanced on administration and just being able to keep up with things that we forget. Listen, what made it great and grow at the beginning is the same thing that's going to continue to make it great and continue to grow. That's going after souls. That's making sure that we're loving people. That's making sure that we're giving the gospel out and not to be distracted from what God has for us. There's some distractions that are going to be eliminated, but then our key phrase right here, looking unto Jesus. I wrote down, not only are distractions going to be eliminated, but our direction is going to be established. I thought about some of the old time prophets that were there back, the major prophets. When the Bible tells Jeremiah, when God tells him that, listen, I've made your forehead as flint. In other words, there's a direction that is set, and they are going to come and they are going to headbutt you. And I'm making it as hard as can be so that you can continue in the direction that I've called you to go. I found out this, and some of you, if you've ever plowed with an oxen or a horse or something, or a mule, you know how it is. If you're dropping that plow and you're digging it deep, you don't have time to be able to look around at what's going on around you. My dad taught me this. I guess it's fitting to be able to tell the story. Today's his birthday. He's in heaven. He's not enjoying a birthday today. He's at Jesus' feet. But I thought my dad taught me this. We had a garden that was about 125 feet long and about 80 to 100 feet wide. And the only piece of heavy equipment that he felt he needed was an 8-horsepower Troy-built rototiller and 5 kids. He said, I don't need a tractor. I don't need anything else. I've got 5 kids and I've got a rear-tine rototiller. I remember when he put me on that. Boy, I wanted to be on that thing so bad till after the first day. And then I'm thinking, hey, I'd rather not be on that piece of equipment. But I remember him telling me, and those of you that have farmed, you know this. He said, you pick you out a spot on the other end of that row. And he said, you just keep your focus and your direction will be determined. He said, don't you get looking around and seeing what's going on and turning around and make sure it's doing a good job. He said, you set your direction and you pick it out and you end up at the other end. And I've talked to some old-time farmers. He said, we used to do that with the mules. He said, we used to do that with the tractors. He said, wouldn't look at anything else. He said, but we'd pick a spot on the other end of that field and say, that's where I'm going, no matter what's going on behind me. And I thought, here's the weight, here's the sin, here's the patience that needs to be run with. We're looking unto Jesus, not get sidetracked, not get distracted, but look at Jesus and say, that's where I'm ending up. And I thought, in our lives, can I say it ought to be on a daily basis that we get up and the first thing we do is we set our eyes on Jesus. You say, oh no, I've got to go to work and I've got to deal with the family and I've got to take care of the kids. I've got to listen. Through all of that, our eyes can still be set on Jesus. The problem is we've gotten our eyes off Him. And we're looking unto everything else and everyone else. And it's no wonder people don't have direction in life today. It used to be you asked the average high schooler, hey, what are you doing? Hey, I'm doing this, 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 and this. Got their life planned out. Today, you talk with 40-year-olds that are living in their parents' basement and say, what are you going to do with your life? I don't know. I'm working on a startup. I'm recording video games. Me playing video games. And it's fixing to take off. I'm thinking, you're 40 years old. Get out of your parents' basement. Quit playing video games. No direction. Listen, it's no wonder that Paul told the church at Ephesus that we're not to be blown about with every wind of doctrine, just, hey, just going here, going there. I appreciate some families and some young people and a church that says, listen, we're getting rid of distractions and we've got a direction that is established. This is what God has for us and we are not deviating from it. But that direction is established. Not turning to the left hand, not turning to the right. But can I say that will not be established if you're not looking unto Jesus. Keeping Jesus as the forefront. And I thought about this as you look at verse number 3. He said, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I'm not going to ask you this morning if you've ever come to the point that you get weary, that you get tired, that you get wore down, and that you start saying, hey, it's easier to get distracted when we're not focused. We had to deal with this with our kids in school. How many found out that their kids just get easily distracted? Today, we just start saying, hey, squirrel. I mean, you can be in the middle of a conversation, and then it's like this pops up over here, and it's the most important thing in the world. And I'm thinking, listen, your lack of focus is really wearing me down. But he said, listen, he said, consider him looking unto Jesus. And number 3, our determination will be energized. You say, what do you mean? He said here, he said, consider him, that's considering Christ, that's keeping our eyes upon him, that's considering what he has done for us. And the reason we need to do that is lest we be wearied and faint in our mind. I'm not going to ask you this morning because I know what the answer is that have ever gotten to the point and saying, listen, I'm about ready to throw in the towel. I'm just tired of going. I'm just tired of putting one foot in front of the other. And I just don't have the energy to go forward anymore. He said, I want you to consider Christ, lest ye be wearied. Now, what are we to consider? He's saying, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. In other words, consider what Christ went through for you and I. When we get ready to say, hey, I'm done. When we get ready to say, I'm not doing anymore. Listen, consider Christ. It may help you to be able to get up in the morning and be able to take another step. It may help you to be able to get up and to be able to share the gospel one more time. You say, listen, I'm just tired of it. I've gotten distracted. I don't have my direction established. Listen, consider Christ. I love the old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And then it says, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in light of his glory and grace. And I thought, how wonderful it is. Listen, we can block a lot of things out when we're focused on Christ. And when we're focused on what Christ did for us, can I say that'll help us to be able to continue on? You say, but Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through with my kids and with my family. Consider Christ, who endured such great contradiction of sinners against himself. And I thought, what Christ went through for each and every one of us is not even close to what we may be going through today. And what some people will throw in the towel over today, I'm thinking, in light of Christ, you're quitting over that? Well, they hurt my feelings. Well, get your eyes off your feelings and get them on Christ. And what Christ has for us. Listen, Christ is the one that took every one of our sins into his body and died for every one of us. He didn't just take my sin, but the Bible says he became sin. I'm thinking, what Christ did for me, how can I quit on him? You ever feel like looking at someone saying, hey, back over here. There were some times, Miss Crystal was masterful at this, to be able to take our kids when they're all distracted looking at everything else and grab their face just like this and say, look at me. Right here. Not over there, not over there. And I wonder, Brother Heber, if just sometimes God wants to look at us and say, listen, you're not supposed to be distracted with all those things out there in this world. But hey, right here, we've gotten our eyes off Jesus. That's why I said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Determination is energized because of what Christ has done for me. And listen, if I put anything that I'm going through in light of what Christ suffered for each and every one of us, listen, I'll be able to get up tomorrow morning because it doesn't even compare. You say, oh, but what them people did to me, listen, they haven't whipped you and beat you and crucified you yet. In light of what Christ has done, listen, we can continue on. Looking unto Jesus. You say, but listen, all these distractions. Listen, I don't know. I'm not preaching against Facebook, but I sure got it up in my heart this morning. I'm amazed what people are distracted by. I'm talking Bible-believing Christians. Now, you can say what you want. I know they're local New Hampshire people. But I don't think a Christian ought to be distracted by recycled percussion across New Hampshire. Some rock group that's out and going across our state trying to do what's good and try to have their rock concerts and everything. I don't think we ought to be distracted. Oh, I'm going to that instead of coming to church. I think people need to realize everybody else sees what you're looking at too and what you're liking on Facebook. And I'm thinking that's just distracting. Now, I'm all for it. It's a great medium to be able to get the gospel out there, be able to have devotions, people to be able to be praying one for another. But I'm thinking, we are so distracted with the things that are out here in this world. It is no wonder that God's not doing something in some people's lives. We say, I want God to be able to use me. Then focus on God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and say, listen, all these things of the world that's out here, I'm not heading that direction. I'm not turning to the left hand. I'm not turning to the right hand. I'm focused on Jesus. Determination is energized. But then we don't like this last one. I don't like this last one. In verse number 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation. Now, this is supposed to be an encouragement, this what's getting ready to be read. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You say, oh no, God is just a God of love. Yes, he is. But he also chastens those who are his kids. We read in verse number 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. When we're looking unto Jesus, discipline is embraced. How many here just absolutely love it when you have to be disciplined for something? Boy, you just love it when your boss just writes you up for an infraction at work, don't you? Oh, please, I haven't had one for 2 years. Can you write me up, please? We don't like that. And we don't like it, listen, when God starts getting on our case and God starts saying, listen, you're not living right. You're getting distracted. You're more interested in everything that's out here in this world than you are about spending time with God. And we don't like that. But can I say this? If we're having our eyes on Jesus, that discipline is going to be embraced. That's why he's saying the exhortation which speaketh unto you, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. We're supposed to be encouraged when God is disciplining us. He said, I don't know about that. I'm not encouraged one bit. We ought to be, because it proves we're a child of God. It proves that he loves us. It ought to be embraced of saying, listen, now that's not trying to do something in order to get disciplined. But it's when the chastening of the Lord comes that we're saying, thank you, Lord. And we're not rebelling against it, because we have a Savior who is so loving towards us, and we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And when the Lord comes along and says, listen, you're not quite living right here. Need to turn you back over. When you go over into the scriptures, I believe it's around Psalm 85, the psalmist is saying, turn us, O God. Turn us. That's not saying I want to turn, but that's actually physically saying, God, would you turn us so that we're headed the direction that we're supposed to go? It's almost like a little kid. We just sang the song, stepping in the light. We're walking in his footsteps. Anybody here ever try to follow in their dad's footsteps through the snow or something? His steps were just a little bit too far apart than mine. And then he'd see that and he'd shorten them up a little bit. Sometimes it's hard to be able to follow. Sometimes it's hard to be able to be in the same footsteps. And sometimes I, as a stubborn young person, he's holding my hand and I'm wanting to go off that direction. And you know what he's doing, Brother Conrad? He's just pulling me back in. And he'd never let go of that hand. If we're walking on the side of the road, if there was a car coming, boy, he'd pull a little bit harder and say, listen, stay out of danger's way. And I'm thinking, all God's trying to do is trying to keep us in the straight and narrow, trying to keep us focused, trying to keep our eyes upon Jesus. I'm thinking, if we'd just accept what Christ is trying to do in our lives and stay focused on him, listen, if we could have a group of young people, and praise the Lord, I love every single one of them, teenagers, young adults, love every single one of them, focus on Jesus. Just focus on Jesus. God will take care of everything else. Focus on Jesus. Boy, if we had some young families, and I praise the Lord for them. I love the kids running around church, not during church time, but I love the kids running around church. I mean, there's no telling, they'll be jumping off the chairs. I don't know. some young families that will say, you know something, in our lives, we're just going to focus on Jesus. We're going to look unto Jesus and what Jesus says to do and the principles that He's given to us. We're going to get rid of distractions. There's some young families, they're so caught up in this world with having everything that their parents had after 40 years. And they want it today. And then they get so much in debt that they're having to work 2 and 3 jobs. They're having to finance all of this. Before you know it, they're not in prayer meeting. Before you know it, they're not here on Sundays. They're not fellowshipping. And with their church family, they've gotten distracted. But hey, I've got a nice house over here. But hey, I've got 2 nice vehicles. Yes, and you're in debt up to your eyeballs too. And we get distracted by all the glitter of this world. Can I say it doesn't do anything for us if we're not keeping our eyes on Jesus? Looking unto Jesus. Direction, you say, I'm just wandering around in my life, have no place to go, nothing to be able to do. Then get your eyes on Jesus and your direction will be established. Can I say this? I know exactly what I'm supposed to do in my life. God's made it clear. God's made it plain. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. Now that doesn't say once I get my eyes on Jesus today that I won't be distracted tomorrow. Every day we have to get up, turn your eyes back on Jesus. Back on Jesus. How many of y'all found out, man, that's just a tough thing to do from day to day? It just seems like, man, the things of this world, before you know it, you're not even trying to. How many have been driving down the road and you're rubbernecking at something? And all of a sudden you start turning and going off that direction. You say, I didn't mean to do that. But it happens so naturally. And before you know it, you're not even heading the right direction towards Jesus. I thought, Lord, if you'd help us to, would you help us to keep our eyes upon Jesus? Look full in His wonderful face. Let the things of this earth become strangely dim. After all, this isn't what we're getting for all of eternity anyway. But let's be reminded this morning, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. You say, no, I love the things of this world. Can I just close with this morning? Jesus died for your sins. That's what Jesus did. You say, well, I've got this emptiness in my heart and in my life, and I just don't know what's missing. I'll tell you exactly what's missing. It's Jesus. Jesus is what's missing. You say, I'm trying to find direction. I'm trying to find focus. You're not going to find it outside of Jesus. You may be here this morning and you say, oh, I'm just living my life. I'm just going wherever the wind blows. That's the direction I'm heading. Well, maybe if you'd allow Jesus into your heart and life. After all, He died for you. He was buried and He rose again the 3rd day. Did all of that for us. You know why? Because He doesn't want us just going through life being blown about from every direction. Doesn't want that. But what He does want is He wants to give you some direction for all of eternity. Looking unto Jesus, you say, I need some hope, I need some peace, I need some direction in my life. It's not going to come outside of Jesus. And Christians, I'm afraid today that we are so easily distracted by the things of the world and some things that are around us that it's so easy to get off course with the things of this world. Now I just wonder this morning if we just need to turn our eyes back on Jesus and look unto Him and say, I just need to follow Him. Distractions will be gone, direction, determination, discipline. Maybe you're under His discipline right now. Maybe you just need to say, thank you, Lord, that I'm your child. Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing me back in, getting to where we need to be. Whatever it is in your life, let's make sure every moment of the day, every day of the week, every week of the month, we're looking unto Jesus.